Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 28th of January 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how doctors are replacing damaged tendons with nanotech, how scientists are using nanotechnology to make robots look almost human, and how bacteria that causes food poisoning could be the energy source of the future. This week's Azo Nano interview is with Leslie Derrick from Digital Matrix. In the interview, Leslie points out that examples of the work done by Digital Matrix could be residing in your wallet right now. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. With tissue-engineered bone and skin grafts, synthetic heart valves, and ceramic hip replacements, surgery is turning us into bionic people. But the Achilles heel in the prosthetic repertoire is fixing tendons, such as those found in the ankle. Now, researchers from the universities of Manchester and Liverpool have turned to nanotechnology to create artificial tendons using a spinning technique with a biodegradable plastic. Researchers reasoned that biocompatible fibres of the plastic polycaprolactone would not only be biocompatible and so be accepted by the body, but would also be degraded over time as the injury heals and so replaced by new healthy tissues. They used a technique known as electrospinning to produce long, thin fibres of this material, just a few thousandths the thickness of a human hair. These polymer nanofibers have a structure resembling the natural fibers of tendons. However, in this form, they're not similar enough to be used as a scaffold for tissue regeneration. Having been called a stealth robotic invasion, the latest crop of MEMS and NEMS, coupled with a patented lifelike artificial skin, are giving us machines that look and act human. Hanson Robotics of Dallas recently won a $1.5 million grant from the Texas Emerging Technology Fund to commercialize what some are calling humanoids. These remarkable machines graphically demonstrate the range and versatility that now can be achieved using MEMS and NEMS technology. The continuous fabrication of complex three-dimensional nanoscale structures and the ability to grow individual nanowires of unlimited length are now possible with a process developed by researchers at the University of Illinois. Based on the rapid evaporation of solvents from simple inks, the process has been used to fabricate freestanding nanofibers, stacked arrays of nanofibers, and continuously wound spools of nanowires. Potential applications include electronic interconnects, biocompatible scaffolds, and nanofluidic networks. DNA is the blueprint of all life, giving instructions and functions to organisms ranging from simple one-celled bacteria to complex human beings. Now, Northwestern University researchers report that they've used DNA as the blueprint, contractor, and construction worker to build a three-dimensional structure out of gold, a lifeless material. Using just one kind of nanoparticle, in this case gold, the researchers built two common but very different crystalline structures by merely changing one thing, the strands of synthesized DNA attached to the tiny gold spheres. A different DNA sequence in the strand resulted in the formation of a different crystal. The technique, to be published January 31 as the cover story in the Journal of Nature, and reflecting more than a decade of work, is a major and fundamental step towards building functional designer materials using programmable self-assembly. This bottom-up approach will allow scientists to take inorganic materials and build structures with specific properties for a given application, such as therapeutics, biodiagnostics, optics, electronics, or catalysis. In an achievement some see as the holy grail of nanoscience, researchers at the US Department of Energy's Brookhaven National Laboratory have for the first time used DNA to guide the creation of three-dimensional, ordered, crystalline structures of nanoparticles. The ability to engineer such 3D structures is essential to producing functional materials that take advantage of the unique properties that may exist at the nanoscale level. For example, enhanced magnetism, improved catalytic activity, and new optical properties. The research will be published in the journal Nature. As with the group's previous work, the new assembly method relies on the attractive forces between complementary strands of DNA. The molecule made of pairing bases known by the letters A, T, G and C that carries the genetic code of living things. First, the scientists attach to nanoparticles hair-like extensions of DNA with specific recognition sequences of complementary bases. Then they mix the DNA-covered particles in solution. When the recognition sequences find one another in solution, they bind together to link the nanoparticles. DermaCM has announced successful findings of a double-blind human taste test using proprietary nanolipidic particles, or NLPs, to mask the taste of sodium chloride in distilled water preparations. Taste-masking nanotechnology can be used to mask unpleasant tastes in beverage, pharmaceuticals, and nutraceutical preparations, vastly improving consumer acceptance, patient compliance, and user satisfaction. The NLPs used in this study are safe and all-natural, marking the first successful testing of an all-natural integrated delivery system in taste-masking applications. An all-natural taste-masking system can assuage consumer concerns over other taste-masking technologies. Current taste-masking technologies include using man-made resins that are insoluble, allowing the drug to bypass the mouth, be separated from gastrointestinal fluids, and then these man-made insoluble resins pass through the GI tract. Coatings are also man-made, and while effective when used for pill formulas, do not solve the taste-masking needs for liquids. Nanotechnology enables the delivery of unpleasant salts or other taste particles in an all-natural form that bypasses taste centres. The Norton Institute, a 100 million euro state-of-the-art new science facility at Trinity College Dublin, which will house Ireland's first purpose-built nanoscience research institute, the Centre for Research on Adaptive Nanostructures and Nanodevices, and the world's first science gallery, has been officially opened. The science gallery will open on February 2 with Lightwave, a spectacular 9-day festival which will explore light in science, technology and art. Wilson Architects, specialising in nanoscience research buildings, in conjunction with RKD, designed environmentally controlled, vibration-free laboratories for the specific purposes of the study of nanoparticles. The building has been named the Norton Institute in recognition of the generous support provided by Dr. Martin Norton, chairman of the Glenn Dimplex Group. For most people, the name E. coli is synonymous with food poisoning and product recalls. But a professor in Texas A&M University's Chemical Engineering Department envisions the bacteria as a future source of energy, helping to power our cars, homes and more. By genetically modifying the bacteria, Thomas Wood, a professor in the Artie McFerrin Department of Chemical Engineering, has tweaked a strain of E. coli so that it produces substantial amounts of hydrogen. Specifically, Wood's strain produces 140 times more hydrogen than is created in a naturally occurring process, though Wood acknowledges that there's still much work to be done before his research translates into any kind of commercial application. His initial success could prove to be a significant stepping stone on the path to the hydrogen-based economy that many believe is the country's future. Carbon nanotube cylinders, so tiny that it takes 50,000 lying side by side to equal the width of a human hair, are packed with the potential to be highly accurate vehicles for administering medicines and other therapeutic agents to patients. But a dearth of data about what happens to the tubes after they discharge their medical payloads has been a major stumbling block to progress. Now, Stanford researchers, who spent months tracking the tiny tubes inside mice, have found some answers. Studies in mice already have shown that most nanomaterials tend to accumulate in organs such as the liver and spleen, which was a concern because no one knew how long they could linger. But fears that the tiny tubes might be piling up in vital organs can now be put to rest, according to the Stanford team, whose research team has demonstrated that the nanotubes exit the organs. This week's AzoNano interview is with Leslie Derig from Digital Matrix. Digital Matrix are involved in electroplating systems for semiconductors, flat panel displays and televisions, CDs, DVDs and a range of other applications. In this interview, Leslie points out that examples of the work done by Digital Matrix could be residing in your wallet right now. Microscopic features and structures developed by Digital Matrix are included as security features in many banknotes of different currencies from around the world.
This is David Bruin from Azo Nano with Leslie Derrick. Leslie's from a company called Digital Matrix. Can you tell us a bit about what you do?
Well, we manufacture electroplating equipment. It's used in the process of semiconductors, flat panel displays. We also do DVDs, CDs. There's a number of different industries that we're involved in, but it's plating equipment.
Fantastic. So that's laying down nano level.
It's laying down a metal layer into structures that could be nano, micro, depending on the technology.
Fantastic. And did you develop that technology in-house?
There's a number of companies that do what we do. However, we have a niche in what we do.
Okay, excellent. So you mentioned that it can be used on CDs and the like. Other areas that plating can be used?
CDs and DVDs were probably, I would say, the original electroplating processes used. But the technology is developed with semiconductor and microtechnology.
Fantastic. So in the nanotechnology sphere, is there any particular area of nanotechnology that you find particularly promising or exciting?
Well, there's, of course, semiconductor. There's many applications with microtechnology that have been interfaced with the semiconductor chip, with the chips.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of the, anything that's going small is being used in microtechnology and requires a plating process.
Fantastic. There's been some bad press given to nanotechnology recently in terms of dangers and that sort of thing. Do you think that the public may be concerned at all by nanotechnology?
The word nano is being overused, I think, in so many technologies. And one of the things with comms, with the commercialization of micro systems, is that it was originally set up to explain, or I should say, to market the micro products.
Mm-hmm.
And micro products were, it was like micro machining.
Yeah.
And the word nano ended up being in food products and in anything that was a small product, but it was not so much that it was manufactured, it was just something that existed.
Mm-hmm.
So the word nano is probably being misused.
Excellent. So in terms of development of commercial products that are based on micro and nanotechnologies, are there any particular hurdles to bringing those to market that you guys encounter?
Well, anything with micro or nano is with commercialization is replication. Anytime you need to make massive amounts of product, you've got to find a way to make it within a price that you can afford.
Sure.
And so that's probably the biggest hurdle in this industry. You can develop these technologies within your labs, but how do you make it into commercialization? And that's where a lot of these companies, that's the hurdle that these companies have to, face up to.
Yeah. And Digital Matrix, what do you serve? Any particular geographical markets?
We're worldwide.
Worldwide?
We're worldwide. When we're in a lot of the major companies, some of the biggest companies, the bigger companies, Fortune 500 companies, and we do flat panel TVs. We also do semiconductors. I mean, we're all over in the market. Everybody's credit card has got our information, and all your currencies are off our equipment. So, a lot of people don't understand, when the currency applications, there's so many microstructures within the currency.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they're sort of the security features and that sort of thing.
Yes. And there's many features that you don't even see.
So. Tell us about those.
Well, there's microstructures within currency that, you'd have to take it under a microscope to see them all. Same thing with the euro. Well, your currency is a very good currency as well. So, but the euro and the Australian dollars there's a lot of microstructures and features within the currency.
Excellent. We'll have to get our wallets out and have
a
look under the microscope. And for people that are unable to attend here at COMS 2007, is there any particular message you'd like to send to them about what Digital Matrix does?
Well, we're a technology development company as well as an equipment manufacturer, and we develop technology that hasn't even reached the market yet. However, the technology that we have can make things faster and better. And there's like with semiconductor bumping, We've developed a new technology in the semiconductor bumping, and we're also working on new processes in the development of new hard drives. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things I'd love to talk about, but it's too much commercialization on my part.
No problem at all. Thanks for your time, Leslie.
Thank you.
AzoNano Business News. While the US EPA looks forward to new environmental breakthroughs, the agency's first commitment is to protect human health and the environment. Therefore, the EPA has awarded 21 grants, totaling $7.34 million, to universities to investigate potential adverse health and environmental effects of manufactured nanomaterials. These grants were awarded through EPA's Science to Achieve Results Research Grants Program in partnership with the National Science Foundation's National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences and the National Institute for Occupational Health and Safety, who awarded another 8 grants for a total of 29. 9 of the grants focus on potential toxicity and 12 grants study the fate and transport of nanomaterials in the environment. Cummins Filtration, the leader in filtration, exhaust, coolant and chemical technology for all engine-powered systems, announced that it's entered into a cooperation agreement with El Marco SRO, a Czech nanotechnology designer. The strategic objective of the agreement is to develop innovative solutions in nanofiber media technologies to allow Cummins Filtration to better serve global application needs in motor vehicles and related filtration systems. Nanochip Incorporated is developing advanced micro-electro-mechanical systems, MEMS, silicon data storage chips. The company's latest round of investors included Intel Capital and JK&B Capital. Nanochip's initial products are expected to exceed 100 gigabytes per chipset, reaching terabytes in the future, and at significantly lower costs compared with current flash memory solutions. Nano Inc. has announced their sponsorship of a symposium for researchers whose common interest lies in expanding methods of direct write nanoscale fabrication and realizing applications from these capabilities, considering dip pen nanolithography and other scanning probe lithographies, microcontact printing and inkjet printing. Among others, the symposium sets out to explore overlapping interests in both bottom-up and top-down nanofabrication. The symposium, to be held on June the 3rd this year, will form part of the expanding program of the NSTI Nanotech 2008 event to be held in Boston June 1-5 at the Heinz Convention Center. Members of the Fraunhofer Institute for Solar Energy Systems are traveling to Tokyo with bulky luggage these days. Their destination is Nanotech 2008, the world's largest trade fair for nanotechnology. Their solar module, which they'll be presenting in the BMBF marketing campaign, Nanotech Germany, is the size and shape of a door, 2 metres high and 60 centimetres wide. The key component of the new modules is an organic dye, which in combination with nanoparticles converts sunlight into electricity. Well, that was AzoNano News for the week commencing the 28th of January 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotechnology audience, don't forget you can listen to them for free at azonano.com. To review any of these stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.